But here's the first principle about relationships. Now we're going to talk about women first, then the women will get to learn something about men. But the first deal that I know from years ago, and it's proved to be true for 23 years, and I still mess it up. But the woman does not want you to fix it. She only wants to talk about it. Oh my God, it was hard 20 years ago, and it's hard now. See, because a man in his very nature is designed to fix it. Everything in us screams, baby, just tell me what you need. Tell me what's ailing you. Tell me where the monster is, and I will go take him out. Tell me in one sentence, that's all I want to know, what is the problem, and I'll go fix it. But she doesn't want me to fix it. She just wants to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it.
Yes. Thank you.
And everything in you is sitting there going, you saw the guy, but you got a nail in your head. Guys, I'm helping you, honestly. I'm giving you fact. Leave here today and know that she just wants to talk about it. She does not want you to fix it. Every time I try to fix it, I get in a fight. And it's the hardest thing in the world for me to do to listen to it. Oh, God! Just be done already! For God's sake, can we fix something? Can we do something? Can we shoot something? Can we shoot it, catch it, build it, anything? So here's the deal. When sharing an emotional problem, the woman's feelings and her desire to be heard are more important than the problem itself. See? There was a survey done with many, many women, and they're all saying, I'm helping you. I'm telling you, well, what she is feeling is actually the real problem. So listening to her feelings fixes the problem. Wow. What she's feeling is actually the problem. The problem is not the problem. But boy, it's much easier for us. Even if I mess it up, let me go try. But it's not the problem. It's what she's feeling is the problem. And listening makes the problem go away. I just helped you for many years to come right there. And that there's never been a video portray that any better. I mean, I learned this 20-some years ago. I studied this. But that one does it because he keeps wanting to say, but there's a nail. Do you know there's a nail in your head? Do you know how many times I've had that conversation? Do you know how many times I've gotten angry and said, I can't take it no more. I told you. Why don't you listen to me? I'm not as dumb as you think I am. So men, she does not want you to fix it. Your natural tendency will immediately go to, what can I do to fix this? And you do that when she makes the first sentence. Okay, what am I going to do about it? And she's like, she don't want you to do that. She just wants to talk about it for another hour. Which challenges everything in your system, the way you're wired. We're wired completely different. And God says, I'm going to share a few more with you about women. Anybody in here ever work extra hours to make more money, to make your wife happy, and then her response to you is, I just really don't think you care about me. I'm not sure if you care about me. And you're like, don't you know? I don't work 16 hours a day because I love it. What do you think I'm doing? Just going out and having a good time? No! How could you say that? Women, next point, women want security. If they can't have security, they'll not be peaceful. And a woman actually needs emotion. I can't believe I'm standing here giving such a message. Promise you there's times in my life I never dreamed I'd be standing here having this conversation. A woman needs emotional security and closeness with you more than even financial security. The women surveyed made it clear that they would sacrifice some finances to have the emotional security with you. They will endure financial insecurity to get emotional security. Now here again is where God set us up. Because a man's esteem and self-worth comes from his ability to provide financial stability. When a man cannot provide for his wife, it is the absolute worst thing in his life. I lived it for years. I worshiped Jesus while they took my car and my house. And really, I lived it till I quit arguing with God and got into full-time ministry. And I'm not rich, but I don't have as much pressure. But the design of a man, if we can't provide, it breaks us. It breaks everything in us. We feel so low. We don't have self-esteem. We connect that to being able to provide. And nothing wounds us like not being able to give that woman what she wants or needs. So when we get into that situation, she still actually needs the emotional security more than she needs the financial security. But we're so focused on the financial security that we don't provide the emotional security. Because after all, having to sit down and talk to her means I've got to remind myself of what a loser and failure I am because I can't provide for her. See, the only thing that's going through my mind is I suck because I can't provide for my wife. And I don't really want to have conversation with her. Because having conversation with her reminds me, because in the man's mind, his ability to provide is the greatest thing. But in her mind, even in the midst of losing everything you own, she can handle that if the emotional security remains. I can't believe I'm standing here teaching this. I've lived this. And I can tell you right now, I wasn't there for emotional security because I was too busy. I don't like to be messed up. I don't like to be second in anything. Not cornhole, not horseshoes. If you've been around, you know that. So most men are that way. So when they're failing, it destroys them. But men, more than financial security, she wants emotional security. She wants to know that you're still going to be there and you're not going to leave. Oh, that's good stuff. And see, men have great trouble balancing the fact that women want nicer things, but they also want them around. Let me back up. I forgot to give you your... Let me give you your action. Some action you take. You got to discuss between the two. If she's willing to downsize lifestyle or make a job change. And another thing that helps bring that security, it's a lot easier now than it was when I got married and there was a big old huge bag phone in the middle of your car. Who knows what a bag phone is? You young people don't. When cell phones first came out, they were this big. They came in a bag. And they sit in your car. It did have an antenna. So one of the things that we can do to help this security thing is out of the blue, send her messages, text her during the day. It helps this emotional security factor. Hey, just wanted to tell you I love you. Ooh, please don't call me. Let the text be enough. But I just wanted you to know I love you. So little things that we can do throughout the day. My Lord, it's late. I'm not going to get in a hurry, though. I'm going to teach you this. I don't want to spread it over 2 weeks. But anyway, send messages and stuff like that throughout the day. And it helps that security factor. Now, who in here has ever had their woman ask, you done been married 48 years, and she'll come up with this nice little phrase right here, do you love me? Could not believe my ears, having no clue what I was going to teach today. Sometime yesterday in my day, my wife looked over at me and said, do you love me? No, I'm just staying with you 23 years because I love misery. Now, who in here honestly can say you've had a woman ask you, do you love me? What the heck, woman? She did it yesterday. No, let me think about that. Here's what you got to understand. Women need to know they're loved. You can't. Here's the. I told you once 14 years ago. Is that not enough for you? That won't work, but that's how we think. Well, if it changes, I'll let you know. So if I haven't said anything, you know we're good. I told you one time 14 years ago. She needs to know and know and know and know. And here's why. Because women have an underlying insecurity about whether her man really loves her or not. And that insecurity is triggered. There are triggers that trigger that. And when something triggers it in her mind to think something's wrong with the relationship, she immediately begins to strive and try to get the relationship back on track, which might not be off track to start with. But in her mind, there's an emotional trigger. There's something popped up that made her feel the relationship's not okay, so she's trying to get it back on track. Hello. What do you do about this? Reassure her that you love her. Anybody ever just need some space? You need space. And she takes you needing space as you trying to get away from her. That's the first sign. That's insecurity. That trigger comes. Oh my God, he doesn't want to be around me. No, he just wants to go fish for a while and have peace. So one thing we can do as men, if we do need some space, is be careful how we say that. Kind of like, look, I just want you to know. I can't do that to you. In today's world, one never knows. But anyway. Listen, I just want you to know I love you and everything's okay with us. But I'm going fishing for the next year. So if we need space, we approach that by letting them know, hey, we're okay. Haven't fallen in love with anyone else. I told you 14 years ago, I love you. So we got to constantly reassure. Then the next problem we have between men and women is women are much more emotional than men. Now, have you had this happen, guys? Out of nowhere, you're driving down the road and you're having a good old time. And lo and behold, she brings up something that happened 20 flipping years ago. What's that got to do with right now? the man is my God. I will never win. I will never satisfy this woman. I done forgot about that 14 years ago, and 20 years later, you're still thinking. You remember when you, I know when you did it. You did this. Oh, Lord. Why do they seem to obsess about something that's better left alone? See, the woman brings something up, and the man's going, honey, it's better if we just don't talk about this, because you know if we talk about it, we're going to fight. So let's just not talk about it. Let's just don't talk about it. Why do women, why y'all want to talk about stuff you know we're going to fight about? Let's just ignore it and hope it goes away. Why does she get an idea in her head and fixate on it, even if you already explained it's no big deal? Sit down, talk, had a long conversation. She finally got it. Wake up the next morning, right back to the same thing. I told you! Here's the deal. Women deal with multiple thoughts and emotions from their past and present all the time at the same time. Men have a one-track mind. Here's the difference. Women cannot compartmentalize and just decide to think about something that is, they cannot compartmentalize their thoughts. They all run together. With a man, he's focused on whatever he's focused on. But it's all mixed around in there at the same time with a woman. So you were talking about one thing, and boom, another came up. But see, a man compartmentalizes his thoughts. He's only in one room or another. But the woman's in every room at the same time. Help us, Lord. This will help us as men. See, we're not the same. She's got all those thoughts turning around in there forever. And she cannot compartmentalize. So they're all mixed up in there together, so they're subject then to pop up at any time. Hello. What can we do? Don't think about it. Well, honey, I'm afraid I upset you. Why, just don't think about it. Why you think on this? Just don't think about it and it'll go away. Don't do that. It's going to get worse. Just what's your job? Listen. Just crunch up your toes and other parts of your body and grit your teeth, but listen. Here's why. Don't tell them to just think about it because that might, or to stop thinking about it because it actually might be physically and both mentally impossible because God designed our brains to function differently and she can't compartmentalize. We can help them close windows by taking whatever action is necessary to help her resolve that concern. It'll probably still come back. So we talked about that. Let me tell you this. Please don't forget this. A woman needs to feel attractive. Again, I told you 14 years ago you were pretty. She needs to know that. And if you're a father in this room, let me tell you something. I shall not cry. But you need to understand something. The girl in that home gets her sense of value not from the mother, but from the father. She goes out and sleeps with some knucklehead searching for what many of us as fathers never gave. She gets her sense of value from the man. The man is her first love. Her daddy is usually her first love. So if he tells her she's beautiful all the time, guess what? There's a good chance she believes it. But the point to us as husbands is they never stop doing that. They never stop needing to hear, "My God, you're beautiful." It's quiet. So men, they need to know this. They need to hear it. What are we going to do? Tell her she's beautiful regularly. It's never, you can't tell her that too much. Oh, here's a good one. Make sure she knows that you only have eyes for her. Don't be going to Walmart and gawking. Oh my God. Because what have we done then? We have pressed that place of insecurity. See, I told you I cut that stack way down. Let's see if I missed anything. I don't want to miss anything. So, women need to know they're loved. And they need to know it and know it and know it. They are more emotional because they do not compartmentalize their thoughts. They want security, emotional security, often above financial security. They don't want us to fix it. They just want to talk about it. The problem is not the problem. How they're feeling about the problem is the problem. And they always want to look attractive and know that they're attractive. Now, ladies, let me tell you something about men. All these things are true. Most women need you to show them love. They're insecure if you're not showing them love, but there's something that's like that in the man's life also. It's called respect. Showing love to the woman is what makes her tick. But showing respect is the thing that the man chooses over anything else. As a matter of fact, folks, men have agreed at a high percentage that they would rather feel unloved than to feel disrespected. 3 out of 4 men, you can take that survey anywhere in America and they tell you, "I'd rather be unloved than to feel disrespected. I'd rather live with a woman who never talks to me so she never disrespects me. But I can't deal with disrespect because respect is the thing that makes the man tick. Just like affection and love makes the woman, it's respect for the man. They would rather feel unloved. Boy-o. Anybody got any trouble with angry men? Everything's going all right and all of a sudden they're like, out of nowhere. Anger is a man's response to feeling disrespected. You stepped on a landmine and what he felt was disrespected, and anger was what came out. 90% of the time when a man snaps at you, somewhere in his mind he felt disrespected. Something about the way you were talking to him, something about the way you were telling that you were saying what you were saying made him again, because he can't stand being inadequate. I despise it. In the man's makeup is anything I'm going to do, I'm going to do it twice better than you. And I will not be bad at anything. I refuse to be bad at anything. If I have to pay the price to do it 24/7, I will be good at it. I will conquer it. And then there's you. So sometimes that angry response that you get is he's received what you're saying as he's not measuring up. This is fact. I'm telling you this personally. Many times when you're angry, what's going on in the man's mind is, "Uh-oh, I'm not measuring up. And there's nothing a man hates any worse than not measuring up. And see, the response that you get as a woman what you see is not really what's going on. In his mind, he's thinking, oh God, I'm terrible. I'm not doing a good job. I'd rather be shot than know I wasn't doing a good job. Hell will freeze over before I'll stay there. See, I've tried to become a better husband. You know why? Because I don't want the title of not being a good one. I can't stand it. Don't tell me I can't do something. Someday you'll tell me I'm the greatest husband in the world or I will die trying. Because I won't be bad at anything. But sometimes he feels disrespected, and that's where you get the anger from. You need to show respect. It's a choice. Respect his judgment. Every word that comes out of his mouth, don't go, "Why, that's stupid." What in the world makes you think that'll work? What he hears is, "I'm a loser." Respect his abilities. A man often interprets you wanting to help. In his mind, you wanting to help means you distrust him to do it. And you got to be respectful in communication, because we hear disrespect. We can hear it in the tone of your voice. You think you're not saying it or communicating it, but you are. And it crushes that place in us that has to be number one, that has to be great at everything we do. And you don't realize the response that you got. But what was going on the inside is you communicated that I'm not measuring up to me. And you're not going to like the response, because I can't deal with that. I got to be, you know. Public respect. This goes for men toward women too. I've failed that one plenty of times. My Lord, if women only understood one thing. Men never stop being little boys. They never stop. You can get anything you want from a man anytime. Because all you have to do is say, "I'm proud of you." That's the way we're made. We will kill ourselves to do that thing again. The response that you want to get from the man, if you will show pride in that when it happens, he'll break his neck to do that again, because he wants to hear that. See, deep inside of us is an insecurity for you to tell us we're okay. We're good. We got it. But see, what we tend to do is get frustrated with the man and begin to tell him all of what he's not doing, which has the exact opposite effect we want it to have, because he begins to fall around in self-pity and begin to feel bad about himself and will even go into depression, and you get the opposite of what you want. What you praise a man for, he will produce for you every time, because that's what he is. I'm telling you this, folks. It never ends. And you don't have to say a thing. All you got to do is, if I got to do it once and you tell me how much it meant to you, I'm going to break my neck to do that. I mean, it's just the makeup of men. Next thing you need to know is men are insecure. Very. Deep inside, men are very uncertain about themselves. And I told you, we want to avoid not measuring up at all costs. And see, we're insecure. We don't want our inadequacies to be discovered. Now, hear what I'm telling you. Men, by nature, want to be good at everything they do, so they're already putting enough pressure on themselves. Don't make any mistake about it. You don't have to tell me. Because something on the inside of me hates failure worse than anything. I refuse to have failure. So keep in mind you don't really have to put pressure on him. He knows. Because he's wired to succeed. And when he's not succeeding, he's miserable. Every time. Men are providers. We already talked about this some. Even if you personally, I don't know, this may be changing nowadays. I'd have to think about this one myself. But even if you you as a woman made enough income to support the family's lifestyle, it would make no difference to the mental burden the man feels to provide, because it's in him. God created him to do it. The drive to provide is rooted inside of a man, and nothing can relieve it. It's at the core of his identity. Providing is at the core of his identity. And when you go through a season in your life when you can't do that, one of the things that you do is you don't give the woman the emotional security. I've already said this, because you can't deal with the fact that you're not measuring up. You're not able to provide. There's nothing worse for a man than that. God help all these men around here who've lost their job in the mines and stuff like that. It takes away the very core of who they are. It's very hard to deal with. Men want to be depended on. It's right within them for just something in them. They want you to be able to depend on them. And you also have to understand, we'll talk about this in a minute, providing is a man's way of saying, I love you. And if he can't provide, he's devastated. And what he does is he will internalize your disappointment as his failure to provide. I'm not just talking about money here. I'm telling you this to be fact. He will internalize your disappointment as his failure to provide. I don't care what it is. Whenever you show a man disappointment, his response is, I'm a failure. Every time. I don't care if it's didn't take the garbage out. I don't care if it's financial provision. He won't show you that. He may show anger, but it tears him up on the inside that you are disappointed, because your disappointment to him equals, I'm a failure. Because whether you realize it or not, they can mask it any way they want to, but a man, nothing makes him any more happy than making you happy. I mean, it changes his whole world if he knows it. He made you happy. That's who we are. But disappointment crushes us because we interpret it as being a failure. Believe it or not, men are romantic. They're just afraid of failure. And you have to be careful if they've tried to do something romantic and messed it up royally that you don't keep bringing it up all the time, because it pushes them farther away from trying it again, because they do not want to mess up. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. Folks, I'm being honest with you. I don't have these things perfected, but they're in my brain at least, and I'm working on them. But I'm telling you the truth. Men, if you will just work on the things that I just said and you'll begin to make that part of your thinking and begin to work on it, everything will be all right. Same thing for women. If you begin to work on these things, I'm convinced these things I'm sharing with you today are the main things. We don't have real huge problems in our relationships. It's all these things right here. And if we can work on the things that I'm sharing with you today, that marriage will get better. And don't get frustrated if you mess up. If you try and then you mess up, you're going to mess up. But at least try. Begin to put forth effort to do these things. Now, the other thing that I have learned in 23 years is this. One of the other things that hurts relationships is, I think in my mind I'm showing you love, but you're not receiving it as love. Because I'm filtering it through what love looks like to me. So what love looks like to a man is providing for you, so he works 24 hours a day. That's his way of saying, I love you, but that's not your way of love. So he can't understand, because he's giving you love according to what it looks like to him. But men, we've got to learn, and women, we've got to learn to not give the love the way that it seems love to us, but we've got to learn what it looks like to them and give them that. So many years ago, there was a book, Five Love Languages. I'm telling you, folks, you can eliminate that stack with what I'm telling you today. Between the two things. The other thing is the love languages. Many times we're speaking the wrong language. The way she relates to love may not be stuff. But we're killing ourselves to buy her stuff. But she doesn't interpret that as love because that's not her language of love. So when I figure out what her language of love is and start to speak that language, she figures out what the language is for me and speaks my language. See, many times we're just trying our best to show them we love them. But we're speaking the wrong language because we've not understood which one works for them. So here they are. Find out from your spouse which language is hers and start using that language. Because you might be speaking the wrong language. Number one, words of affirmation. According to this study, for someone who words of affirmation is their love language, hearing I love you and other compliments are what they value most. Words, what you say to them, saying good stuff to them, is the thing that they value most. And then because someone who's way of their love language is words of affirmation, when you speak hurtful things and negative things, it kills them. Because their language is words of affirmation. They need to hear, you're awesome, you're beautiful. So you might be working real hard and working two jobs and 16 hours a day, but her language is you saying it. And your mindset is, I said it 14 years ago, why do I have to say it again? It's her language. I'm convinced that if we will give that person, if we will find what it is that motivates that person. I told you that earlier about men. If you tell them you're proud of them, you're going to get it. I mean, you're going to get heaps of it. Probably truckloads. Too much sometimes. They go buy some chocolate and you like it, they're going to try to buy the factory. Words of affirmation. Number two is quality time. This language is about giving the person your undivided attention. I suck at this one. I need to talk to you. Let's sit down and talk a while. Okay, wait, what's going on? Some people's love language is your undivided attention. That's how they receive love. So then if you're not giving them your undivided attention, they feel unloved. But if you're giving their attention, giving them your attention fully, they feel loved. You don't have to do nothing but sit there and look. See? What did this woman say when he said, oh, that sounds tough? She was like, oh. All he had to do was listen. Because quality time, paying attention to me, is some people's language. Unlike the words of affirmation language, talk is cheap and being a loved one's main focus leaves quality timers feeling satisfied and comforted. They don't care if you say it to them or not, necessarily. Distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen can be especially hurtful to these individuals. Being there for them is crucial because that's their language. How do I speak that person's language? Be there. Three, receiving gifts. Some people, what makes them feel most love is to receive a tangible gift. It does not necessarily mean the person is materialistic, but a meaningful or thoughtful present makes them feel appreciated. Now, no matter which gift you got, you probably won't turn down presents, though. They make you feel pretty good. I mean, that's a language that, you know, we all can speak a little. Sounds good to me. I'll take anything you got when you leave here today if you want to. I will receive gifts. Number four, acts of service. For these people, actions speak louder than words. People who speak the language of service want their partner to recognize that their life is rough and help them out in any way possible. Lending a helping hand shows you care for these people. People who thrive on this language do not deal well with broken promises or perceived laziness. And they have very little tolerance for people who make more work for them. Translated, do the dishes. If you're not willing to show your appreciation by doing them a favor, you're saying you don't really value them, because again, that's their language, and they see acts of service as you valuing them. So you could be doing any one of these others and they don't feel love. You might feel like you're loving in your heart, but you're not speaking their language, because theirs is acts of service. So you do all kinds of things, but you do no service, and it feels like she feels like there's no love, and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere because you're not speaking the language, which is acts of service. The last one is physical touch. To this person, nothing speaks more deeply than appropriate touch. That doesn't mean hello, man. That doesn't mean just in the bedroom. Everyday physical connections. I've gotten an F in this one. But again, I'm doing better at it. Because you remember, that's one of the things when the Lord told me, you're a prideful man, that's your problem. Something happened on the inside of me when that left, and I don't have as hard a time giving affection. Because something softened on the inside. Hand-holding, kissing, dear Lord. All the stuff you did before you got married. Lord, help us as men to get this, that if we would just keep doing what we were doing then, trouble would stop. I said help us get it. I'm not saying I got it, but got it in my head. A person who speaks the language of physical touch isn't necessarily an over-the-top, I don't know what I put on there. But the bottom line is, touch makes them feel loved. Pat on the back, holding a hand, kiss on the cheek, arm around the shoulder. It's the darndest thing. It just means absolutely nothing to me. Not a thing. But see, the problem is, I can't speak my language. I have to learn to speak the other person's language and find out what it is. So I'll leave you with this. And I just keep coming back to this over and over and over, but we have so many problems in our relationships because we're trying to fix that person. We look at it through the eyes, if my spouse would just do this, we'd have a great life. When in reality, what I'm supposed to do is work on me. If the husband spends all his time trying to be a better husband, not trying to make her a better wife, and if the wife spends all of her time studying and seeking God about how to be a better wife, not try to fix her husband, they both win. Because the husband is focusing on getting better himself and she's focusing on getting better, and we're not pointing the finger at the other person. I don't need to be trying to fix her. I need to look in the mirror and say, you, sir, are the problem. And when we do that, it begins to change things. Because now we're living the lifestyle of Christ. We're preferring others above ourselves is what we're doing. And now we can't get into that bitterness and anger, and the enemy can't get into that because you are not meeting my needs. That's the number one downfall, folks. That's where divorce comes from. Well, they're not meeting my needs anymore. Well, that's not how God taught it. That's not the design for marriage. The design for marriage was me to be focused on you. So if I focus on you, you focus on me, we're going to win some way.